Kavoka Jackson wants to replace invasive plants with native ones at the Glen Canyon National Recreation Area. So the master's student at UNLV has been going there and pulling some of the invasive plants and planting native ones. She's working in collaboration with the National Park Service for her master's project, which is focusing on restoration ecology. And Kavoka joins me to talk about this. And Kavoka, this isn't just an academic exercise for you, right? This area and these plants relate to your family and its traditions, right?
Yeah, so Glen Canyon Recreation Area is, you know, I mean, it's right next to the Grand Canyon. And so my tribe, the Hualapai tribe, where I come from, our traditional territory way back in the day extended up towards that area. And so not only my tribe, but dozens of other tribes were familiar with that area and considered the area sacred. And so for me to go back and do restoration there the way I am doing now, it kind of reconnects me. And even though I'm the only one currently in my tribe who's visiting the area regularly, it connects my tribe through me back to this ancestral land.
For folks who go to visit the Glen Canyon Recreation Area now, what kinds of plants will they see there? And what kinds of plants are you hoping to replace those with?
So right now, there's a few really invasive plant species that have kind of taken over the area, per se, and various other areas along the Colorado River. One of the main ones that, you know, people typically think of is tamarisk salt cedar, which is very difficult to control. You'll see Russian olive, which is this, like, big tree with silver-gray leaves. And then you'll see Ravenna grass, which is the grass that I'm working on right now. It's a relatively new invasive species, and so what they're trying to do and what I'm trying to do is kind of establish methods of getting rid of that grass. And one of those methods that I'm employing is using restoration and planting native plants there while removing this invasive grass, in hopes that the native plants will then reestablish themselves in that area so that it doesn't give an opportunity for the invasive grass to come back.
So are you actually going out to that area and, like, pulling these invasive plants and planting the ones that you'd like to have there instead?
Yeah, so one method is I am physically, me and my volunteers and the other people who help me, we are physically pulling the grass. But another method is that we're using herbicide. So we'll treat, you know, a plot that we have set up with herbicide, and then we'll kind of plant native vegetation in between the spaces that are available so that when the grass dies, that the native vegetation can still kind of inhabit that area.
What kind of vegetation is native to that area?
There's a lot of native vegetation, and so the ones that I'm focusing on, you know, it kind of varies from plot to plot. But a few of the plants, you know, on the riparian areas where they're really close to water, I'm using willow baccharis. I've also tried arrowweed. And in drier areas, I'm also planting, like, white sagebrush, four-wing saltbush.
What kind of success have you had so far on doing this?
Actually, next month will be my first trip to monitor the plots since we planted everything back in April. The last trip I took at the end of May, so it had only been about like a month and a half maybe since we planted, and actually a lot of things were doing really well. You know, you're always going to have some that fail, and so there were a lot of plants that didn't look like they were doing so well. But, you know, some of these plants really take time to establish.
In addition to the significance of these native plants to the Hualapai tribe and to other tribes from that area, do these plants also have a significance to the ecosystem or the environment of that area as well?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, these plants evolved in this habitat, and so the insects and animals, they're all dependent on the same type of plants in the same species.
So what do you hope ultimately to learn or find out from this experiment when you're done with it, or even maybe when you're nearing completion of it?
One of my goals and the goals of the project is to find an effective way to control these invasive species, this invasive grass. There have been methods that have been proven successful and methods that have been proven unsuccessful. But at this point, because of how widespread this grass is becoming, we need to find more effective methods to control it in a a bigger way, you know, more widespread. When it was in the Grand Canyon, they were finding it here and there, and they were kind of just pulling it. But when it becomes a big problem and you don't have the manpower or the time to go out there and physically shovel out the grass, you need an effective way of controlling it. And our way right now that we have is herbicide. But you can't just say, I'm going to go treat this with herbicide. You need to know the right ratios, what herbicides to use, what time of year to apply the herbicide, and how much should we apply. You know, it's kind of more complicated than it seems.
So do you think what you learn about controlling these particular invasive species at Glen Canyon could potentially have applications for controlling other types of invasive species other places?
Oh, definitely. That's definitely how it goes. There are a lot of invasive grasses, especially. And so if we could find a really successful method to control Ravenna grass, then we can potentially use those same methods in the same way and apply it to other environments.
Kavoka, thanks a lot for taking the time to chat with me about this. I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Kavoka Jackson is a master's student in the School of Life Sciences at UNLV. She's currently working on a project focusing on restoration ecology at the Glen Canyon National Recreation Area.